Well, greet somebody that you know and say hello to them. Well, hello, Miss Julia. Good. Amen. I don't want anybody to feel left out. Praise the Lord. Did y'all greet somebody you know? Isn't that nice and easy when you know somebody, you can say hello? Amen. All right. Let me open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. Father, I thank you that you gave it to us, that we can truly use the Bible, Lord Jesus, as a foundation, Lord, that we can stand solidly on it, Lord Jesus. Not only is it something solid that we can stand on, Lord, but Father, it is a doorway. It is a way to come into communion with you and to know of heavenly things and spiritual things, Father. It opens the eyes of our hearts and of our minds, Lord, that we can expand our understanding so far beyond this natural realm into your heavenly kingdom, Lord. And Father, it equips us to walk in your ways, Lord. It equips us, Father, to walk as a new creation, an entirely different sort of being on this earth, Lord. And Lord, it teaches us of our future, of what you provided for us and who you created us to ultimately be, Lord. And I just thank you for your Word of God, that we can trust and rely on it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is awesome stuff, huh? How many of you like to read your Bible? Okay, we're in church right now. You're supposed to raise your hand. All right. Praise the Lord. The Word is good to us, isn't it? All right. So, today what I want to talk to you about is how to walk in more spiritual power. How many of you like to walk in more spiritual power? Right? You know? Amen. It's like we can go from those little AAA 1.5 volt batteries, jump right up to those 12 volts that are in your car or truck, right? Amen. We can go jump right on up there. Or go from a battery to a generator, to that next level of power. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you some keys to walking in more power. How many of you would like that today? Amen. And some of this is going to be a refresher course for you. Some of it may be oversimplified, and some of it may be stuff you never heard before. So I think that all of it is really, really good, and I think each one of us need to be stirred up from time to time, because I can say that I'm guilty of knowing a lot more stuff that's in the Bible than walking in every single day. Can you say the same? So this is going to be really, really good. You might want to take some notes. So the first thing that we need to do if we want to walk in more power is that we have to have an appetite for it, don't we? We have to have an appetite for wanting to see more manifest in our lives. You've got to want to see it. You've got to want to see. Now, I'm not talking about wanting to know God more. I'm going to make that a given. I would say that's the number one most important thing, is that we actually know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'll give you a little acid test, okay? This is an hors d'oeuvre. It's not the main meal. Here's the hors d'oeuvre. If I was to ask you to get out your journal and to write out, who is Jesus? You're not allowed to use scripture. You're not allowed to use hearsay. You're not allowed to use historical events. You're only allowed to use your personal revelation and communications of who he is. Okay? So if I ask you, what's Jesus' favorite color, I don't want you to just shout something out. Has he told you what his favorite color is? Okay, I'm using that as an example. But so how much do we really know God ourselves? Not know about him, not agree with what the Bible says, not agree with the pastor or the prophet or the evangelist or the teacher says, but who do I know? What's my experience of God? Amen. Okay, so that's the first thing. And so I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about believing Him and walking in the power that He's given to us. Amen? So first thing we need to do is hunger for wanting to see results. You got to really want to see results. And when you decide that, okay, I'm going to pray for people until I see results. I'm going to pray for finances until I see results. I'm going to pray for relationships until I see results. Whatever it is you would like God to do for you, to learn how to operate in that ourselves. We have to have an appetite for that. So how do you increase your natural appetite? She said it, eat. That's the truth. If you want to increase your appetite for something, you have to eat more of it. And if you're not used to eating more of it, you need to eat more of it until you stretch out your stomach, right? Till it gets bigger so that you can win that hot dog contest or watermelon eating contest or that 6-pound steak and mashed potatoes and gravies and desserts and bread and all that other stuff they feed you. You got to work up to being able to do that, right? So it takes really increasing how much you're eating. And so that's the first thing you need to do is to increase your spiritual appetite. Amen. So that you can eat more. So some of the examples that we can use on how do we're talking about operating in the power of God, how do we do more to get more? So what are some of the areas that we need to increase our appetite in? And I would say that one of those areas would be that we would pray more often. How many of y'all have more minutes in the day to pray than you do pray now? Okay, so we're just talking about time frame right now. So we need to pray more often. That's stretching out that spiritual stomach for us. And how about study our Bible more often? You know, we can study our Bible more often. And how about witnessing to others more often? How many of you could, if you had a desire to, witness to more people than you do now? Maybe a lot of us could. If we had a desire to, if our want to was involved, and our want to wanted to, we could do that. So we're talking about how do we increase the power of God that we walk in. So one of those ways is going to be to start witnessing more to people. Or some of you might have to just start. You've never done it before. I'm going to go pray for people. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to go out there and, okay, Lord, if you open the door, I'll walk through it. So I'm going to need to hear your voice audibly tell me that's the person you want me to pray for, okay, or to go talk to. Yeah. Nothing? Okay. Next. No. We go till he tells us to say stop. He wants to speak to everybody. So we need to open up our heart more to minister to people, actually the things of God. Okay, so that will also increase our appetite. Okay, so when I wanted to eat more, I had to eat more. And when I had to eat more, then I started craving more of that food, whatever it was. So if we start doing those things, we'll start craving doing those things. I'll give you a small testimony. I can't do too many. I got a lot to cover. I had a kettle corn business. You guys know what that is? Sweet and salty popcorn. Really? You see it at the fair most of the time. You can eat that stuff. Okay, I had a business selling that stuff. And I would have to get up, set up my tent, all of my equipment, go to Walmart, buy my sugar and my salts and Pam and all those things that I used on a daily consumable basis. And I would get in there and have to set up my whole stand every morning. And then I'd have to start making popcorn. And then I'd sell popcorn all day. And when it was dark out, then I'd tear my whole stand down. And then I'd have to load it back up in my trailer and drive back home again every day. And I got to tell you, it was grueling at first. It was a lot of work, and that equipment's heavy, and I got to make all, and I got to go to the store, and I got to buy this stuff, and then I got to account for my taxes and everything that I got to pay, and it was laborious for about a month, really laborious. But then I built a habit in me of doing that every single day, and unbeknownst to me, all of a sudden, it wasn't hard anymore. It was just what I did. It became my new normal. And now it's my new normal, and I'm doing it every day joyfully, to where now my mind is not struggling anymore. So it was free now to glorify God, enjoy my customers, and all that kind of stuff. Well, after a year or so of doing that, maybe it was 2 years, I don't remember how long it was, 3 years I had that business, I sold it. And do you know what? I went through withdrawals. Not from kettle corn, from the routine. I went through withdrawals. I got up and I didn't have to go to Walmart and buy my supplies. I didn't have to load my equipment. I didn't have to go find a spot. I didn't have to set it up. I didn't have to spend all day there. And I was so used to it, my body was actually, I didn't know what to do with myself. It was really tough. So the same thing is with building a spiritual appetite. As we start doing these things, they're a little harder in the beginning. But if we stick to it and make it a habit and a routine, eventually it will truly be our new normal, that we'll just naturally talk to people about the Lord. We'll just naturally share things we've learned in the Bible. Okay, so let me go on. So number two, after we've built that spiritual appetite, you know what we need to do? Feed on the Word of God. We need to eat this up. How many of y'all know how to feed on the Word of God? Less than half. Okay, then I'll tell you how to do it. If more than half you said you did, I'll skip on to the next point. So how do we feed on the Word of God? Would you turn with me in your Bibles? Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse 53. Are you with me? So it says, and Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. 54, whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 55, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So the Lord is saying that we need to feed on him. What does that mean? I'm not asking you to shout it out, but I want you to think about this a minute. A lot of the things in the Bible we read and we don't really think about it. And I'm not going to give you, I was not in Jesus' mind as he was saying it. So I'm going to give you an example. But when we read our Bible, it's to really actually know God. It's not just to memorize the book or to be familiar with the stories. It's to actually build that relationship with him himself. And so as we are reading our Bibles, it really is a feeding on his flesh and a drinking his blood. What does he say by that? He says, I want you to take me in to so much to the point that I am all that anybody sees when they meet you. So really, that we would read the Bible with the point of becoming, being transformed, being trained to be just like him. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that the student will never be greater than the teacher. You'll never be greater than the master. But it says, but he will be like the master. Do you know that? So you will never be Jesus, but you can be just like him. That was Jesus' word. The student will never be greater than the master, but he will be like the master if he's a disciplined learner. That's you and me, amen? So we need to feed on the blood of Jesus. Here's another verse that I'd like to use, and that's James 1:21. So if you got your Bible, go to James. It's right after Hebrews, the next book after Hebrews. It's on page 1063 in my Bible. Are you with me? I love this verse. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Yeah, this is Trey loves superfluity. Of naughtiness, that's right. Superfluity of naughtiness, I'm telling you. Did they talk like that? Crazy. Okay. You're being naughty. I don't know. Anyway. So, overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul, or the King James says the engrafted word. So have you guys, do you guys know what a grafting is? What's a grafting? An implanting, he says. Okay, so if you had a skin graft, what are they doing? They're taking skin from another place in your body, they're cutting it off and putting it over the burn or the area that needs the new skin. And they graft that skin in so it will adhere to that spot and grow and fill that spot. Right? And in trees and vegetables, they do something called grafting. They do it in grapevines all the time. And what they'll do is they'll take the root stock of something very healthy and of some kind of a plant, and they will cut that root stock, the top of it or a branch of it off, and bring in the new stock that they want to grow that's having trouble growing in this environment. And they will take the stock of the root stock and the new stock and cut them and put them together so the sap can flow from one into the other, and they tie it and bind it together until that sap from that root stock can get into the new branch. And then that root stock starts giving the life to the new branch. And if you know that John says in John chapter 15 that Jesus is the root stock and we are the branches that he grafts us into, right? And that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, then whatever we ask, we shall have it. And so what we need is that life of Jesus, who Jesus is, actually God himself, flowing into us, so that his life is giving us life. And it's not our life anymore. We've been cut out of the old root stock because it can't survive in the climate that we're in now. So he took us from being a natural human person on the earth with our identity in the earth and in the rules of this world. And he cut us out of that. Because we can't survive in that in heaven. We have to have a different kind of life in us to live in heaven or as a spiritual being. And so he cut us out of this world and grafted us into his life, right? The Gentiles. And the original Jews were cut out. Why? Because they wouldn't believe God. And I got a whole teaching on believing God that is really powerful. But they, if we will be cut out also if we don't continue to believe God. Okay? And so what is it we're believing God for? Or what is it that we're receiving that we lose by being cut out or we gain by being grafted in? What is it? It's the life of Christ himself. Really. And so we have to feed on the Word of God to really get that life, not so that we can feel the life of God, but so that we can live in the life of God. That our real life comes from God, not from food, not from water, not from oxygen, not from rest, not from sunlight. Our life comes now from the Spirit. So there's a life that supersedes the natural life of the flesh. And that's the life of God that flows in us. Right? And so, okay, no matter where I go, I can't help but be myself. I just can't. 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians. I love this verse. I'll share it with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I believe it's verse 5. Let me look. It is. I love this verse. I'm just going to share it with you anyway. Ready? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Now, it doesn't say to examine somebody else. You need to just examine yourself. So as I'm walking through my life, Robert, am I in faith right now? Or am I in my ability right now? Am I in faith right now? Or am I in my knowledge right now? Am I in faith right now? Or is this my skills? I have experience here right now. Am I in faith? Am I truly believing that God's the one to pull it off, whatever it is I'm believing for? Am I in faith right now? Do I actually believe that greater things I can do? Do I actually believe the power of God flows through me? I need to check myself and make sure I'm in faith. Okay? So as we're reading the Word of God, we're reading the Word of God to build up our faith or to give us revelation, knowledge that we can own for ourselves and not just read about what's true in the heavenly realm or in the kingdom of God, but what's my reality in it, right? So I have to examine myself. It's all up to me to do it. To examine myself to see to it that I'm in the faith. And you need to do the same thing. Look what it says after that. Then after I examine myself to see if I'm in the faith, I need to test myself. Not God tests me. Not Pastor Trey tests me. Not my mother or my father or my boss. I have to test myself after I've examined myself and made sure I'm in faith. Now I need to test it out. Not for another person, not for God. To prove it to me that I'm in faith, this is true, and it operates in me. Okay? It's up to me, 100%. And then it says, do you not know yourselves? Do you really understand this yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you. Can you own that? Is that your reality, that Jesus Christ is actually in you? Not, it's a nice thing to say, oh, it's a simple thing to agree with. Is it your reality? Is it your experience? Is that the life that you live, that I make sure I'm in faith, I test myself so that I'm operating in that faith, because I actually know for a fact that Jesus Christ is in me operating. Are you with me on that? I didn't mean to make that too strong. I just wanted it to be emphatic. Okay? So each one of us absolutely is responsible for that. Amen. It doesn't just rain down on you and it just happens. Now, I'll say there are moments when the Holy Spirit wants to do something in spite of you. And he will manifest on you, through you, for the accomplishment of whatever it is before you. Okay? And that's Him making sure it happens. Okay? It's a timely event that must take place in order for the plan of God to continue as it is. So that's not what I'm talking about. If we're so stubborn that the only time we see the manifestation of God is when He has to get something done for His plan to be fulfilled, then we're rebellious tools. But if we on our own will own this stuff and walk it out, now we're more usable to God. We can be used in any circumstance because we're willing vessels, yielded to Him. That if He says, I want you to go minister to somebody, you already live a life of making sure you're in faith. You're ready in season and out of season. Your life is a life of being one with the Lord. So therefore, I'm in faith. I have tested myself. I know the realm that I own that God works through me in this realm. Now, He can work through me in a lot more areas, but I've tested these ones, and I know that if I pray this way, I get 100% results. Or if I believe God for these events to take place, they always take place. Okay? So where have you proofed out how God flows through you? Okay? So, I'm on point 2 of 7. They all kind of overlap, you guys. So, okay. Can I throw a little fear in you? Do you mind if I throw a little fear in you? No, I'm not going to do it. Nope. I'm not going to use the Old Testament. So you see what God, if you don't do what God tells you to do, I don't even want to see. Never mind. We're in the new covenant. Praise God. He treats us differently. All right. Feeding on the Word of God. So we need to read the Bible and take a portion of Scripture. So I would give you this advice that everybody, if you go back into the pastor study group, Pastor Trey went a lot into how to study the Bible. He did several weeks of how to study the Bible, and he covered so many different ways. And so I encourage you, if you're not good at studying your Bible, you might want to go back and take a look at some of those pastor studies. They were really good. But there's a couple of ways that I would encourage you to do it. How many are just really proficient at studying your Bible? 2 people are. Great. So this will be helpful. Okay. So here is Mr. Johnny's. You think I'm a Christian comedian up here the way you're laughing, my friend. All right. So here's a great way to study your Bible. Think of it like food. How many have food that you like? Okay. So how many of you have a favorite food? I wasn't asking you what it is. Don't put those thoughts in people's minds before we finish, okay? Lunch is right next. But if you do, so what I do, I have 2 different ways of studying the Bible. One is that I read slowly to understand, and I'm reading the chapter until the Holy Spirit quickens me. And what I mean by that is that something that I'm reading sparks my attention or is magnified to my understanding, stands out more than anything else, or I feel the presence of God around me or the anointing increasing. So I read to get to know the Lord more. And as I'm doing that, when I notice that I am experiencing His presence, whether it's through revelatory light, physical sensation, or just an enlightening of my mind, I stop there. I say, Lord, I recognize that this You're bringing out to me. And I'll take that verse or that little section right there, and I'll really meditate on it. And I'll read it over and over. And I'll take each word and just really take that word and talk to the Lord about that word and the next one. And it's like finding a real favorite food that you just put it in your mouth and you just suck the flavor out of it, and you're tasting it and chewing it and enjoying the texture of the food and really taking it in to really relish and enjoy that thing. And that's what I do in different sections of my Bible when I want to really come into the real presence of God and know about the Bible. The second thing I do is there's another way that I study my Bible, and I do it very intellectually. And that is that I will take a section of the Bible, a chapter or a section of verses, and I'll do word studies on it. I'll read it and I'll break down every word and run it through the concordance or the lexicon and find other verses that uses that word, and I'll expand the flavor of that word, and I'll find how it's being used so that I can get the real Greek or Hebrew meaning, because those languages, well, especially Hebrew, is a pictorial language, which means it's a language of pictures. And so a picture is worth 1,000 words. So you can understand that as they started writing, there's levels of usage of these words. There's just levels of different ways of using this word. Like if you go through the Strong's Concordance, you'll see that it's broken down. It's used as 5 or 6 words. Some of them are 20 or 30 different words because of how they use that word. And I start getting those, so I get a much deeper, broader understanding of the Bible. So that's feeding on the Word of God. Both of those things are really powerful things to do. And if you just increase in your feeding on the Word of God and study it and take it verse by verse and take it apart and really get the definitions of everything, it's really, really powerful. And I meditate on it and stew on that thing all day long. Sometimes, I'll tell you what, I stewed on 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for years, just years and years and years, and just really soaked that in. And Ephesians and Colossians, man, I've been in those for 5 years. I just stay there to get that revelation and get that light, because, you know, you can go from a match to a candle to a campfire to, you know, an even brighter fire to a spotlight to a floodlight until you can step out in the noonday sun. You know, and I'll tell you what, there's revelation of life and light. And I use the example of the inside of me is bigger than the outside. And that's saying a lot. So I'm telling you what. And what it is it's like a room inside of me of darkness that is limitless. It has no end to its size. In the dimension of who I am on the inside, there is no end to how big I am. But it's in darkness. And as I get revelation, the lights go on more. You ever seen shows where they come into these big caves or these big rooms or these big libraries and they turn on the lights and it just goes jing, 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 and just keeps on going and going, or military installations, and it just gets, you're there and all of a sudden it just goes further and further and further and further and further. That's how it is with the revelation of the Word of God. When you start building that framework inside of you of how spiritual things work, how does the kingdom of God operate, what is my experience of it, and I can start putting that together, I get a framework that I can hang revelation on, I'm getting bigger on the inside. And as you're doing that, you are being transformed by the Word of God. And it's literally changing you, because your identity is shifting, because you are truly making sure you're in faith and you're testing yourself and you're walking these things out and owning them, that you're being transformed. So, do I have time for one more? Sure I do. Number 3. I'll have to do the rest of them next time I talk to you. Number 3, communion with God. Communion with God. So we stay in our Bibles and we read our Bibles and we really get to understanding them, testing ourselves in what it says that I can own it for myself as my reality. But then my communion with God. So how many of y'all know how to commune with God? 1 does, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see some head bowing. Some, yeah, kind of, sort of. I think I kind of do. Well, I'll tell you what, if we use my acid test that I first started out with, that it's not hearsay, no other people's testimonies, no, just because you read it in the Bible, your real revelation of who he is, your genuine one-on-one, because he told you so, he showed it to you, that's why you own it, that's what we're using as our acid test for knowing God. My personal experience of God has to come through communion of God. I have to be the one that seeks him out. If I draw near to him, he'll draw near to me. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I want to let you know that doesn't mean you be angry and shake your fist at God. Give me revelation. That's not what it is. You might do that out of frustration, but that's not what it is. That word is more of relaxing into the revelation. It's like it uses the example of leaning into a hedge and falling into the hedge and being absorbed by the hedge. So this kingdom of God suffers violence, the violent take it by force. It is allowing the truth of the revelation to be yours also. And you have to lean into that truth. You know, another way of using it is, I think of a rubber lifeboat. You ever seen those lifeboats that they throw off of the ship and everybody jumps in them? Did you guys ever see that movie, Titanic. Did you guys ever see that movie? You know, with actors and actresses. Sorry. But they had those lifeboats at the end and everybody was piling into them. So it's like that, but it's like this. The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It's as if you're trying to get into a rubber raft that other people are already in, and they're telling you there's no more room. Now, what is your demeanor? How are you going to handle it? You might be the person that goes, well, I'll just rest my arm over the side. I'll hang on to the rope. Okay, we're in the Bahamas. It's okay. The water's not that cold at all. So I can handle it. I'll just hang out here. Okay? That might be fine for some people, and some people do. That's about as much as they enter into the kingdom of God. They bump up next to it. But what happens if somebody yells shark? How does your demeanor change? So how important is it to you to get into that rubber raft? You're not going to care what anybody says. You don't care how uncomfortable they get. You don't care how crowded it's going to be. You don't care if you're the one that makes it nearly sink. You are going to get into that boat. Okay? And if you'll be dragging people out to make room for yourself. You'll get into that boat. So the kingdom of God suffers the violent, and the violent make sure they get into it. You have to make sure you have revelation from God. You're the one that has to press into it. Okay? You're the one that has to make it happen. And if it's not happening, you have to be the one that positions yourself to receive it. It's God says, it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. He says in John chapter 3 that you must be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. So, and that which is flesh, that which is spirit, you have to be born of the Spirit in order and the blood to be enter into the kingdom of God. So it's up to us to do that. And part of that is communing with the Lord himself. And as we commune with him in talking prayers, you know, that's what we do on Wednesday nights as corporate body, is we use our words and we talk to God. And then we have listening prayers where we're listening to him talk back to us. And we're grooming that relationship. And that communion is more than just dialogue. It's more than you talking, and then you let him talk and you listen. It's more than that. Now it is also practicing the presence of God. How many of you have heard that term before? Practicing the presence of God. So what that is that your naturally flesh has to be trained in spiritual things. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. And I will slow down at this point on point number 3. In Hebrews chapter 5, right at the end, before he starts talking about the foundational stones, he's talking to these people that they should be teachers by now. They've had the Bible, well, they've had the scripture. They've been taught, they've understood these things, and he's telling them that they ought to be teachers. Verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again." And listen, just stop here. Just because we go to church and Pastor Trey pours his heart, life, knowledge, and revelation out to us, if we're not taking that stuff and using it, it's not making a difference in our lives. Amen. And you can say you've gone to church for 20 years, but does that mean you really own it? You own the revelation of the Bible. Because for 20 years, you've been listening to it. Listen, I'm ashamed to say that there are people that ought to be teachers by now and they're not. They ought to be prophets by now and they're not. They ought to be walking around performing lots of miracles and they're not. And so he's talking to a group of people that ought to be way further than they are because they haven't had that real drive to receive that revelation themselves from God. And so he says that though by now you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. And that's the thing is, a lot of people operate in a lot of condemnation and shame. They feel inadequate. They feel like they're not being used. They feel dull towards the things of God. And they give excuses and reasons why. And then they protect those excuses and reasons and stay dull. And they have their reasons. And some of them go to their graves protecting those reasons instead of being sharpened. And it's about the word of righteousness that Jesus has made us the righteousness of God. That means he's made us just like himself. Our new creation. Remember, you got grafted out of the world, cut out of the world's way of thinking, its revelation, and its truths, and grafted into Jesus and the kingdom of God. And his life now flows through you. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? These people weren't working that out. And so he's saying this word of righteousness, that the life of God himself is the life that flows through you. They had to get that, and they were unskilled in this word of righteousness. And it says, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So in other words, these people haven't been exercising their spiritual abilities, senses, to really know how to operate in that stuff. And they needed to be reminded of those 6 foundational stones of Christianity. So we need to, through the practicing of the presence of God, through the reading of the word, through the speaking prayers and listening prayers, cultivate our spiritual strength and understanding and revelation. And so practicing the presence of God is truly making yourself sensitive to the fact that Christ is with you. Angels are around you. You are a participant of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Christ has moved you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, It's the truth of who you are. He's in you. So he says that in Ephesians and Colossians, that you are blameless and above reproach because Christ is in you.
Amen.
It's important that we really cultivate that and get that general understanding. And as we do that and start practicing, God, Jesus with me everywhere I go. Jesus with me everywhere I go. He's with me everything I do. Jesus with me. And as we cultivate that and practice that, his presence and our mind doesn't stray from that much. And all of a sudden, we start seeing more stuff manifest. Again, we're talking about being able to walk in and experience and demonstrate more spiritual power in our lives. So these are three of the seven things I want to tell you. Amen? See you later, Fred. So, let's all pray and take a moment and let's just experience the Lord and let's just take a moment for it and then I'll release you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you that we, Father, are not just hearers of the words, but we're doers of the Word, Lord. And that, Father, that we believe you. We do not reject you. We believe you and desire to operate in you, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that, Father, that as we go out this afternoon, we go out this day, Lord, that, Father, that we would be the lights in the community, that we would be the voice of God, that we would be the ones that people recognize as being sons and daughters of God. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great day. Say what? Next time I teach. I'll continue this next time I come in. Do those 3 points. Increase your appetite, feed on the Word, and commune with God and increase your prayers. Do that part, then we'll do the next 4.